before Pastor Leyva comes and preaches what will be the second in a series of four kind of New Year's sermons on Christian stewardship. The Bible reading today can be found on page 744 on the chair Bible that is near you. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, and you may be seated.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful for your word. Lord, we desire to live under the authority of your living word. And so, Lord, we're asking God that you would, Lord, allow us by your spirit to understand, fully understand this story, this parable. Lord, that the words of Jesus would cut us and rebuke us. That they would reprove us in areas, Lord, where we've become greedy. So I pray this, Lord, for your name's sake, that you do this in our lives, in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, greed and covetousness is always ugly. It can turn family members against each other. Think, for example, when parents leave behind their estate to their children's. One of the siblings always wants a piece of furniture. The other one wants the piano. The other one wants specific parts of the land. And when one sibling does not feel like things were divided equally, anger, strife, greed comes in. That's just one example of greed that happens. A brother, when he realizes that he doesn't have enough, becomes angry and he gets greedy. And of course, greed is always sin. It is never pleasant. Psalm 10, verse 3 says this, "For the wicked boasts for the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord." You see, greed always affects sibling relationships, friendships. It always affects that. And the text in verse 13 shows us the strife that the one brother has towards the other. Do you see that there? Verse 13, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me.'" You see that the man here comes from someone who thinks that he deserves more than what he receives. Look back at chapter 12, verse 1. Look at verse 1 here. We see that there was a massive crowd present. It says in verse 1, "In the meantime, when so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples." See, Jesus was teaching his disciples. And all of a sudden, this man yells out, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I mean, it's like he wasn't even hearing what Jesus was teaching on. It was like he didn't even care what Jesus was just teaching on. I mean, look at the context. Jesus is teaching of, in verses 4 through 7 here, that they were not to have fear. In verses 8 through 12, that they were to not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus is preaching stuff that has substance. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this one brother says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." I mean, this is kind of like the incident that happened just a few months ago as President Obama was giving his thoughts on health care. And Representative Joe Wilson yells out, "You lie!" and stunned everyone. Well, that's what we have here. We have a complete and crazy incident with this guy yelling this out. This man in Luke 12 did not hear the words that Jesus said. And Jesus didn't like the man's request. And he says to him in verse 14, but he said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbiter over you?" See, Jesus wasn't going to be drawn out of some, he wasn't going to be drawn into some sort of relational sort of conflict here. See, he was careful not to become involved in matters that didn't directly concern the reality of what his ministry was here on earth. He didn't want to become Judge Judy here. He wasn't judging between the two brothers. But what we do see Jesus doing is that he's able to get to the heart of the matter. You see, from a silly request in verse 13, Jesus uses it as a teaching device. You see, Jesus smells the covetousness and the greed within this brother. He smells that in his heart. And Jesus here issues a warning. And it's a warning that should extend to all people. Look at verse 15. And he says to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." See, Jesus gives the disciples a warning here. You see, the narrator makes great effort here to tell us that he's not only just responding to this one guy who's just yelled out this request, but he says to them all. A request becomes a place where Jesus can teach and instruct all the people. They were to look out for all kinds of greed and covetousness. Well, what does covetous mean? What is this? What's this word here? It is the lust. It is to lust. It is that which we lust. Let me just read this here. Lust is covetousness is the lust to have more than one's fair share. It is a desire that is never satisfied. It is a desire that is never satisfied. It is grabbing for more and more and is never fulfilled. The person that lives that way lives in constant sin. And he doesn't have the faculties, he doesn't have the mind to actually think and discern properly. A person who's full of covetousness. Well, scripturally, this is constant with what the scriptures, the Bible, has been saying from Old Testament and even from prior to Jesus' days. The 10th commandment in Exodus 20 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." Ecclesiastes 5:10 says this, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." Do you love money? Do you love wealth? The scriptures of old have been saying already the dangers of coveting again with those things. They've already given us warning. And Jesus really here is just reiterating the scriptures. That's all he's doing here. So scripturally, this is from of old. Jesus here warns this would-be inheritor of the greed that is within his heart. He warns him not to pursue those things that lead to dead ends. And the Bible makes it very clear that greed or covetousness is wicked, and it will snuff your life. And Jesus says, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. You see, and covetousness takes all kinds of form. It can be a pursuit after power. It can be a pursuit after security or pleasure or significance. And Jesus gives this warning and then states the principle. He gives a warning and then he states a principle. Verse 15, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The principle is this: the accumulation of material possessions is not the end of life. That's not why we're here to live life for. It's not about the possessions. The one whose only pursuit to get more things will live a very sad life. And that's what we see here. See, the greedy person who lives for the things and only for those things, their pursuit leads in disaster. But Jesus' words to them is that material success will never make it. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So how is it that Jesus applies this principle? How is it that he makes this principle come alive? Look at what he does there in verses 16 and 17. He shares a story. He tells them a parable. The principle is simple. Life does not consist on possessions. Let me draw a visual picture for you. Let me tell you a story, a parable. That's what he does there in verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, and he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. See, this man was wealthy. He was a farmer. He did really great in having an amazing income, plentiful income, out of his crops. You see, this man made his wealth honestly. He made his riches honorably. Like most of us here, sitting here, we've made our wealth not by devouring widows, not by deceiving others. At this point, in verses 16 and 17, this guy is a decent man. He's made a handsome living from his crops. And he hasn't done anything wrong yet in this parable. But he's in great danger, isn't he? Everything was going his way, but he's in great danger. And yet he falls into this foolish reasoning in verses 17 and 18. He begins to ask himself in verse 17, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store my grain and my goods. You see, building barns or new barns wasn't a bad thing. It wasn't wrong. I mean, he had plenty. Yeah, he had to build bigger barns to keep and to store all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what was the danger in these verses? The danger was that there was, in these verses, there is no thought of sharing the things that he had. There's no thought of stewardship. There's no thought of the poor and the ill. There's no thought of those who were downtrodden in the first century Jerusalem. That was the biggest fault that we see here in our passage. This man is completely self-absorbed. He's totally self-centered. Did you see all the personal pronouns there in verses 17 and 18? 9 times. My crops, my barns, my grain, my goods. I will. It's all about I. It's all about me. It's all about me. What will I do for my things? And he totally has disregard for those that are in need. He has no sense and stewarding the things that God has given him. He's totally self-centered. But of course, he is very symbolic of everyone who's sitting here today, isn't he? You see, we are always easily seduced by all kinds of covetousness, from those of us who are sitting here who are teachers, lawyers, doctors, mechanics. We easily fall into this sort of mentality. What will I do for my kingdom, my treasures? And have a total disregard of stewarding those funds that God has given you. He is emblematic of all of us. And because he can only think about himself, he comes to one logical conclusion. Do you see that in verse 19? And I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. What he essentially says is, it's time to retire. It's time to live on the green and to kick it, to enjoy life, to play golf all the days of my life. It's time to retire. There in verse 19. Now let me be very clear here, because the Bible is not against retirement, right? It's not against it. It's about the retirement of self-indulged apathy. It is against this self-centered lifestyle that says how I will build my kingdoms, my storage rooms, create them even larger and larger for my name's sake rather than God's name's sake. He has no regard for others, and he has definitely no regard for God. And we know the psalm there in verse 53 that the fool says to himself, there is no God. The fool says to himself, there is no God. That's what we see there in verse 19. I mean, you can just picture that. I mean, this guy, you can picture he's sitting on his couch, just hands up. So, I mean, it's just, you can picture that. You can see that. Kicks back, relax, eats, drink, be merry. So what kind of judgment does God have for this guy, this kind of guy? What is in store for the person who lays up treasures for himself? Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul was required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? God called him a fool because he was a fool. The things that you've prepared. You see, the irony here, right? There's irony. The irony here is that this fool is the one who took extreme measures to prepare his luxurious lifestyle, to have it all set up, to, as it were, have his 401k set up, to have everything perfect and ready to kick back and enjoy life. And in one night, one moment, one second, God says to him, fool. I mean, this is what was written on his gravestone. Fool, who lived for pleasure, who lived for himself, and who died to himself, and whose property was then divided amongst the state. Jesus completes the principle in verse 21. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Rich toward God. Jesus has had enough with the request back in verse 13. He's given them a principle. He's given them application by telling a story. And it's clearly, we must look at this parable. Those of us who are modern readers, must see that we will and we do fall in the same sorts of lies and deceits and greed that this man gave into. Our heart does say, I will build more. I want more. Our lives, my life, we don't really look out for the others. We don't really steward the funds that God has given us properly. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Have you prepared for your lifestyle, for your life? And God's saying to us from this parable, no. Prepare to build me a kingdom. Those treasures that are in your bank account, those treasures that you hold dear, you're to be a steward of those things, those treasures, in order to serve others. That's why we've been given life, to steward the things that God has given us, the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to steward that and to serve His church in that way, to serve His people. Life consists of storing treasures to God. That's the conclusion of our passage. And we must recognize that personal covetousness and greed will ultimately lead to a life totally dissatisfied, striving for nothing. Life consists of storing treasure to God. We must be about that, Holy Trinity Church. We must be about storing treasures to God. Give Him in praise, stewarding the funds that He's given us, lest we become like this fool. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we recognize that You became poor and endured all poverty in order to become rich eternally. Lord, we worship You. We give You thanks. We exalt Your name, Lord, and enable us by Your Spirit to weed out, to take away those sinful, greedy, covetous ways within our lives that ensnare us, that lead us to a dissatisfied life. Help us to help one another and to encourage each other in areas where we see that we've built our own kingdoms or our own storehouses. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.